The first call from Pierce College came into the Los Angeles Police Department on the afternoon of February 17, 1988. A Pierce College security officer was on the phone to report that since January 13th, two young men had apparently been making illegal copies of software. On that January evening, Pete Schleppenbach, a computer science instructor, had walked into the computer science lab and seen a tall, slender man in his late teens or early 20s hovering studiously over one of the system terminals. Schleppenbach was taken aback by the sight of a complete stranger standing so authoritatively in a place clearly off-limits. "No admittance, authorized employees only," warned a sign suspended directly above the stranger's head. And one would have to have been unable to read English to be oblivious to the warning notes Schleppenbach had taped to the terminal, obscuring the screen. "Do not turn this terminal off. Leave it on." And, "Students, don't use this terminal unless all others are in use." To see what was on the screen, the young man had taken Schleppenbach's handcrafted monitions and flipped them onto the top of the monitor. Schleppenbach stood and watched the young man. A student? A digital technician? As he reached behind the terminal and turned it off, then on. Then the stranger sat in front of the machine as if he owned it and began to type. Schleppenbach approached him. "What are you doing?" he asked. The young man barely looked up. "Just looking," he mumbled. His speech had the tone of someone convinced that his actions were beyond reproach. "What are you doing at the terminal? Didn't you see the signs? You're not a student here, are you?" He shrugged at Schleppenbach. "No, I'm not, but she said it was all right." And, without turning around, he thrust his shoulder in the direction of a student employee working in the computer lab. Unsatisfied, Schleppenbach told the stranger to leave. The teacher then asked the student worker if she had given the stranger permission to use the terminal. She said she hadn't. When he turned around, Schleppenbach saw that the trespasser had not left the room, but was seated at another terminal with someone who appeared to be his friend, a pudgy compliment to the rangy, cocksure stranger. Might he be a digital technician? He looked old enough to be out in the world of gainful employ. The friend seemed engrossed in what he was seeing on the computer screen, and he typed in short, feverish bursts. As Schleppenbach began to approach the two, he saw the slender one tap the shoulder of his friend, who turned around to face Schleppenbach. He turned back to the computer, and as if in a big rush, typed something quickly and got up to meet Schleppenbach halfway across the room. The pudgy stranger spoke first. Friendly and inquisitive, he told Schleppenbach that he and his friend were there to find out about the course Schleppenbach was teaching in office computer networks. Cautious, despite the young man's friendly, almost engaging demeanor, Schleppenbach explained the course's prerequisites and told them how to register for classes. He told them they shouldn't be using the system unless they were enrolled at the school. "Okay, we're just leaving," replied the heavy one, at once defensive and vaguely arrogant. "We just know a little about digital computers." When they were gone, Schleppenbach walked over to the computer where the two had been sitting. He saw that a tape was inside the tape drive, and that a light on the drive was flickering to indicate that something was being written on the tape. The only person, aside from Schleppenbach, who was authorized to mount tapes for backup, was another instructor. Schleppenbach went straight to the classroom next door, where the other teacher was holding class, and asked his colleague if he had been doing work on the Microvax 2, a small digital equipment computer. The other instructor shook his head. Schleppenbach rushed back to the lab and saw that the light next to the tape drive was still on. Schleppenbach enlisted the help of one of his students to try to figure out what was going on. They went to a terminal and typed, "Show System." Their screen displayed the name of every job running on the computer. When Schleppenbach saw a program called CPCOM, he began to get nervous. Schleppenbach knew that program hadn't been there before, and when he displayed it on the screen, he saw it was a simple 7-line program, a command procedure for making a complete tape backup of every program on the college's system. At first, Schleppenbach decided the only thing to do was to abort the work of the tape whirring inside the tape drive, but he thought better of it. The backup process lasted 40 minutes. When Schleppenbach removed the reel of tape from the drive, he saw right away that it did not belong to Pierce College. When he reloaded the strange tape onto the tape drive, he asked the computer for a listing of its contents. The tape contained a copy of every file in the system, If he hadn't intercepted those two young men in the middle of their task, they would have walked out of the room with a copy of software worth $20,000. It wouldn't have deprived the college of the software, but in Schleppenbach's view, it was theft nonetheless. Schleppenbach figured he had seen the last of them, but for safekeeping, he put the tape in a locked room, accessible only to faculty. The next morning, he called the chairman of the computer science department to tell him what had happened. When Schleppenbach walked into the lecture room at 7 p.m. on February 9th for the first class of Computer Science 64, he was shocked to see the same two youths seated in the back of the classroom, grinning and tapping pens against their desks. They had enrolled. 2 days later, Schleppenbach ran into Anne Delaney, the former computer science chairwoman, now a professor in the department. He had hardly finished telling her of the incident with the tape drive when she interrupted him. "It's Kevin Mitnick, isn't it?" He looked down at his class roster. Yes, Kevin Mitnick was one. The other was Lenny DeSico. Delaney looked stricken. She told him that in 1982, Mitnick had been expelled from the school's computer science program for tampering with the school's computers. He was in trouble. She told Schleppenbach to alert everyone that Kevin Mitnick was back on campus.